All right, back at the Young Turks. Jake and John with you guys. We got a lot of stories for you all. So let me just give you two quick tweets. Ruth Benedict says, why are sexual predators asked to step down? Isn't sexual assault a crime? Why on earth are these people not being arrested? Very, very fair question.
It depends on what they did, obviously.
Of course, as you know, and some issues are nuanced and some are not.
And some are outside of statute of limitations, unfortunately.
And some might just be that the cops are doing an investigation right now. I mean, if they don't arrest Harvey Weinstein, then we have no justice in this country.
It just came out today that one of those investigations has been stalled, apparently, against Harvey Weinstein. One of the accusers said.
Jeremy Kohler says, if this tax bill passes, there's only one thing to say. Fuck the Republican Party. They hate America. They only care about money.
Jeremy, we knew that before.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you can go ahead and say that right now.
Yeah.
I'll save you the trouble, okay? All right, so now, John and I are going to do a number of stories together. I'm doing the first one, okay? So you all know that Matt Lauer obviously was in a lot of trouble because of allegations of sexual harassment, significant ones, and then was fired yesterday by NBC News. He was their top star in terms of being a host of the Today Show, which is their most popular program and most profitable one as well. He's their top star in terms of how much money they paid him, which was $28 million a year. But some of the allegations were quite significant. Geraldo Rivera did not see it that way, and he started tweeting. This was a bad idea. But we do want to discuss whether he has any points at all. So let me give you his tweets. He says, sad about Matt Lauer, great guy, highly skilled, and empathetic with guests, and a real gentleman to my family and me, but perhaps not a gentleman to others. Anyway, he says, news is a flirty business, and it seems like the current epidemic of sexual harassment allegations maybe criminalizing courtship and conflating it with predation. What about Garrison Keillor? Okay.
Wait, what about him?
So apparently he thinks that was no big deal. And we discussed this yesterday. I don't know all the details of what Garrison Keillor is accused of, so I can't comment on that. John, I'm going to go tweet by tweet, but let me pause here. Look, I think all these folks are in a tough position when they know and like a person. So he knows and apparently likes Matt Lauer, and their families know each other. So if I was close to someone, it'd be tough. You have to get past that and go, what he did was wrong. Okay,
yeah.
But I think that Geraldo is now saying there is some courtship, right? And it does happen in some office environments, including news. Actually, let me give you one more tweet and then let's talk about it. He says, jerks are jerk in dating. Sexual harassment should be confined to situations where a superior imposes himself on a subordinate who feels unable to complain because of power of perp or feared consequences to victim's employment. Shouldn't be used to get even with bad bosses or hated exes.
But he's saying this in response to the Matt Lauer stuff, which is exactly what he's saying it should be confined to. So it comes off as bizarre that you're taking this opportunity to say that people are just going wild. That he was the highest paid, perhaps in some ways, most powerful person there. And one of the women specifically said that she went along with a sexual thing because of her fear of losing her job and didn't talk about it immediately afterward because of the shame and probably continued fear about if she had brought it up a few years ago. And they had to decide, should we listen to her or should we, you know, and then fire our $28 million a year earning Matt Lauer? I mean, we know how historically that's gone at a lot of these companies. Maybe they would have given her a little bit of money and then she would have been shuttled out the door. And maybe that's the end of her career.
So I don't think that it's unfair to point out that you shouldn't believe every allegation. And especially if there's going to be any kind of proceeding, and here there isn't. It's just a matter of internal investigation, and Matt Lauer doesn't seem to even disagree with the firing. Certainly hasn't said anything along those lines.
He said some of what has been alleged isn't true. There were some caveats, but he implies that some of it is true.
Yeah, so I just think that Geraldo, even if he were to make this point, and it's a fair point that yes, some small percentage of women might want to, you know, go after bad bosses or people that they were in relationship with. you at least have to point out that it's a very small percentage of women, because historically and statistically that's the case. And number two, this is a bizarre one to fight on. I mean, I get it because he's friends with Matt Lauer, but it seems like Roger Ailes, who Geraldo also defended in the beginning, he later changed his tune on that, but also described what Roger Ailes was doing as flirty. Both Roger Ailes and Matt Lauer are alleged to have taken their pants off. Ailes chased a woman around the room with his pants off. And so I think that goes way, way beyond flirty.
Yeah, I guess devil's advocate, he might be thinking it's that he's not specifically responding to the Matt Lauer. It's just, oh, look, another one. Now let me talk in a meta way about all of it. I don't know that that's what he's doing, but that might be how he defends himself. But I think, and look, he's going to undercut himself even more in the next tweet, which is far worse. But the general idea that in this sort of situation, very often, people like Geraldo and others feel the need to say, well, what if they're just coming after bad bosses or hated exes? Or what if they're just looking for money? Like, it's not just that, like, he's not necessarily the person to be delivering that message because he's coming off as a guy who's sweating down the back of his neck right now about this whole situation. Let's ignore all of that. To any guy that wants to make that, like, comment in the future, we got it. Everybody already knows the concern about the possibility that there will be reprisals against bosses or somebody you're pissed off against, or maybe some girl wants money, or maybe some girl lies. Everybody has already heard that point. It's not like, oh my God, Geraldo makes an amazing idea. What if they were lying? We get that. And obviously, every case involves looking at the specific details. But when your response largely is just that, it seems like you're more concerned about the man in this case. And in this case, it's a man who clearly did it, Matt Lauer, who did terrible things. And so, yes, we're going to react negatively to this. Everybody already gets the concerns about the possibility of deception. Nobody's ever going to jail without people investigating what actually happened. And so you don't need to continually reiterate it over and over as if that's the only thing that we should be thinking about at this point.
One more tweet from Geraldo. He says, sexual harassment allegations should require, one, made in a timely fashion, say within 5 years. Two, some contemporaneous corroboration like witnesses, electronic or written communications. With money settlements in multi-millions, slight chance exists some victims are motivated by more than justice. It does seem like it's a Christine O'Donnell moment when that was a person who ran for Senate in Delaware. She was the Republican and Tea Party candidate, and she famously made an ad saying, I'm not a witch, where people were like, why? Were you a witch? Right? And so now Geraldo.
Suspiciously, her opponent did not make clear that they weren't a witch or a sorcerer or a necromancer or anything.
Yes, that was weird. Anyway, so Geraldo's wrong about point number one because he says, oh, you got to make it within 5 years. But in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, until maybe just a couple of months ago, people were not in a position to be able to come out without fear of reprisals, which there were plentiful, people being fired, which happened all the time. In fact, Roger Ailes was and Bill O'Reilly were accused of firing people if they wouldn't have sex with them. Yeah. So, and you work at Fox News, I think you should be familiar by now with that. And a lot of that happened well past 5 years ago, and that is exactly what was wrong with the culture back then. So saying, oh, if it's 5 years ago, in other words,
you want to grandfather in abuse?
Yeah, it feels like Geraldo's saying that. Remember, whatever you think you might catch me doing was 6 years ago or earlier. Anyway, and a lot of these women have had.
It has to be within the. You can't make a claim after 5 months, 5 years, and 3 months or so.
And like 21 days. I'm not that I means anything. I'm just
within that time. That's enough.
Anyway, and most of these women have contemporaneous corroboration. In fact, the New York Times, Washington Post, different outlets that have reported on the different cases have been methodical in pointing out who they said it to at the time, not just today. Not like, oh, there's stuff going on. To Geraldo's point about, I'd like to get rich, I'm going to say it now when it didn't really happen in the past. No, they told their ex-boyfriends, their husbands, et cetera, et cetera.
Which makes it, at the end of the day, like kind of, I'm not intending to offend him, but kind of a stupid point to make. First of all, about the 5 years, that's ridiculous. If you committed a crime, it's a crime. I don't care how long is gone. We can still judge you based on it. But then about the contemporaneous thing, does he think that people are losing their jobs purely based on one comment? They don't look into it at all. There's nothing. No, Matt Lauer did not lose his job without any evidence that it was true whatsoever. Obviously, the companies are already doing those sorts of investigations. In the most high-profile cases, like Harvey Weinstein, like Roy Moore, we have tons of contemporaneous witness statements and other forms of evidence. That's already there, and the people who are doing these investigations know that they need that. It just comes off again as this sort of weird knee-jerk need to do what you think is defending yourself, pointing out stuff that's abundantly clear to everyone who's already been paying attention to this issue.
Look, maybe it's because he's at Fox News and there are allegations of a person we definitely will not name who is looking for money when she was not in this similar situation as many other women at Fox News were. And I don't know if that's what's under his skin. I have no idea because I don't know any of that internal stuff. So guys, look, to John's point, yes, of course at some point there'll be a bad actor. Of course, not every person is dropped from heaven and is telling the truth. But the overwhelming majority of them are, right? So it's, think about your balancing here, right? So when people say, I believe the women, what they're saying is, in the past, the women were not believed, right? Geraldo's rule, 5 years ago, they were not believed, right? So it doesn't mean that every woman is telling the truth. And yes, somebody might look for money, and yes, somebody might be mad at an ex or something like that. And yes, that should all be properly investigated. But it doesn't look like Matt Lauer is that case. And like I said earlier, in a Facebook post last fall, as HuffPost explains, Rivera also referred to journalism as a flirty business. He said he regarded one of the former Fox Chief's accusers, that's Ailes' accusers, with, quote, extreme skepticism due to his own personal experiences.
Yeah, and look, news, I guess, can be a flirty business. A lot of businesses are flirty businesses. They tend to be high-stress environments where people spend long hours in a small environment with the same people. They have shared experiences of extremely intense natures. I used to be a waiter. They're very incestuous areas, restaurants. Everybody who waits tables can probably attest to that. And there are certainly areas in which some sort of romance is perfectly fine. If there's no power dynamic, and if it's clear that it's a consensual thing that's entered into in a sensitive and delicate fashion, and it's not simply someone creeping someone out, making them afraid to come to work, it's not a boss exercising weird sexual control over their employees, then of course businesses are going to continue to be a place where people can have relationships. And we do have to have that conversation. It's also possible, hypothetically, that we focus now on this moment we have to actually do something about the habitual, long-term, powerful harassers, get some kind of action, and then we can find out if we can still hook up afterward. Maybe we should attend to the more important stuff first.
Yeah, and look, is news a quote-unquote flirty business? In my limited experience, yes. I don't mean here, but when the tales of local news that I would hear back in the day when I briefly worked in local news, and then the tales I would hear in cable news, they're just secondhand. So, but yes, there are a lot of hookups. And at some point, will one of these cases go too far? Probably, right? What I mean by too far is someone will make a wrong charge, and then there'll be a huge overreaction to that too. Mm-hmm. And the pendulum will keep on swinging.
One final point. I think I mentioned this in our production meeting this morning, but we very often, like you say, very often they make the case that women could lie. And as you say, well, first of all, it has happened very rarely, not nearly as often as some people would like you to believe that they do. But it could happen. And they will often say, well, the fear is that then that will cause them to not people to not trust women who are telling the truth, which is totally true. But we never actually flip that. Where 9 times out of 10, these guys who are accused of this habitually, naturally deny that it happened, but then we find out that it did happen. Aren't they hurting men who are innocent's chances? Why are we never worried about the actions of lying men in this case?
Well, that's a great point too. That's right. So last couple of things here. Apparently in a 2014 interview, Rivera lauded workplace culture in the 70s and 80s and bemoaned and bemoaned contemporary workplace protections. I have a sense that this is not going to end well for Geraldo.
Those madmen, man. They knew what was up.
I don't think that lauding the culture of the 70s and 80s is the right way to go. He said, now if you look at an intern with cross eyes, you go to jail. I mean, you get fired. It was almost like sex was free. You have no HR, no human resources, no workplace rules against it back in the day.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It is not a good thing that there was no rule of law or human resources to protect anyone back in the day. But for guys like Geraldo and a lot of the other guys at Fox News, and now we find out in other places as well, they did think those were the good old days.
Yeah.
When they were in charge and there were no rules to protect anyone else. Now, this turned out to be obviously a bad idea, so Fox News then said Geraldo's tweets do not reflect the views of Fox News or its management. We were troubled by his comments and are addressing them with him. In other words, oh, for God's sake, what are you doing getting us back in trouble?
Now, that's a good statement for them to put out.
Yeah, and then Geraldo finally came back around with a nice backpedal here with reaction to my tweets today on sex harassment makes clear I didn't sufficiently explain that this is a horrendous problem, long hidden. Harassers are deviants who deserve what is coming to them. Often victims are too frightened to come forward in a timely fashion. I humbly apologize. And please do not look into anything I might have done 5 years earlier.
We don't know anything.
Okay, no.
Anything.
Seriously, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, and again, he's on the periphery of what he's saying. There's conversations that need to be had socially within men as a community. These conversations do need to happen. I think that you're stressing them at a time that is not, in a way, and at a time that is not ideal.
Yeah, to say the least. This has got bad idea genes written all over it.
It does.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to do a quasi defense of something terrible that Trump said. Interesting. And we're going to ask you to vote on it too. So buckle up, old school TYT Supreme Court coming. All right, back on the Young Turks, Santos Huante writes in, sounds like Geraldo's projecting. The Mad Lib writes in, excuse me, if we ever get single payer health care through, the insurance companies can always shift over to insuring millionaires and powerful people from sexual harassment, rape charges that can surface years after the fact. Seems like there's plenty of work. Yeah. Indeed.
Premium assault coverage.
So John and I had a great post game yesterday. Lots
Nerdy.
Of fun. Yes, where we talked about John's love of Harry Potter and his abodes and his wands. it was really, really fun. An ode to King of the Dorks. And so check that out if you're a member. And to become a member, tytnetwork.com/join.
/wand.
No wand, /join. And today, I don't know, John will pick some other dorky topic and we'll talk about that.
Somebody requested Star Trek. They want us to talk about Star Trek.
Oh, we can dork out together on that.
Have you started watching the new show?
No.
God damn it, that would have been great.
Tell me all about it.
So have you watched The Orville?
No. I'm old school.
We'll stare at each other awkwardly for 20 minutes.
I've watched every original Star Trek and every Next Generation
episode. There you go.
Okay, all right, John, what's next?
Okay, a little bit of news for you. In a comment that was originally sort of deceptively censored during a profile of Donald Trump back in 2000 for the now defunct Maximum Golf magazine. I wonder why they weren't delivering it anymore. I guess it was canceled. Donald Trump had a very Trumpian way of describing a young woman that he was interested in. So it was previously unreported comment in Maximum Golf. Donald Trump singled out a quote, young socialite at his club at Mar-a-Lago by telling a reporter, quote, there is nothing in the world like first-rate pussy. He said that to a reporter who was gathering information about Donald Trump to do a profile of Donald Trump. And I'm glad that Trump did that, because to understand Donald Trump, you really need comments like that to understand how he views women. Now, this was not originally accessible even to the many readers of Maximum Golf. The remark never made its way to print, as a top editor of the magazine forbade the reporter from putting it in the publication. But the former journalist who wrote the article, Michael Corcoran, and another editor both confirmed that it was said by Trump as Corcoran followed him around at his Florida golf club for a profile.
So let's pause there to talk about that, because I think what Trump said is not a pleasant way of phrasing things, and it certainly shouldn't have been said around a reporter. I don't think it goes to the level of the other comments that he's made. We'll discuss that in a second. But to me, the most telling part is that Trump felt confident enough to say that to a reporter, because in his experience, the reporters cover up for the rich and the powerful.
Yeah.
And it turns out he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. And I've said this for a long time, almost the whole time we've been doing the Young Turks. The problem oftentimes is the editors. And you know, the editors make the decision on, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, maybe we'll put that on A1. We'll put you a giant headline in the front of the newspaper. They probably don't have it. We'll put that in A27. And I remember writing an article called Fire the Editors. Because they feel a need to, unfortunately, accommodate power. And here they're like, we're doing a puff piece on Trump and how great he is and his golf courses. Mm-hmm. So that would be damaging to him. No, do not speak truth to power.
Yeah.
So that's a disturbing part of the story.
Yeah, so they edited it so that in the final version, it was there's nothing better than first-rate talent. That's a fine talent for censorship you've got there at Maximum Golf.
Well, actually, to be fair to Maximum Golf magazine, they're still around. And it helped to protect this guy by flipping it on him. Maximum Golf Magazine is like the premier golf magazine you'll ever find.
It's a good thing they covered for him. That really helped. So look, there's other stuff in here that's sort of a little bit scary and a little bit embarrassing. But first, let's talk about this comment, because I know we had a disagreement in the production meeting about how bad this is for Donald Trump. Obviously, it's not going to, look, if he can be absolutely insane and be president, this comment's probably not going to hurt him too much. But I do think that it's interesting. I think it's important to remind people that he wasn't 18 at this point and has since changed his view of women. This is a guy who's almost 60, I believe, when he said this. This is a guy who had brought his then girlfriend, Melania, there. And so as his girlfriend is doing pictures for Maximum Golf, he's telling a reporter, look at that first-rate pussy over there. I have a girlfriend. Imagine if she found out that as she's helping me do a profile, I'm bragging to a reporter about the body parts I love on other women. In like the weirdest, most clinical, most crass way possible.
Yeah.
And one other thing, so it's not just the context that this is a reporter. One other thing, this is not simply a guy who has negative views of women. Of course, back during the campaign and since, this has affected how he actually treats women. In terms of the policies he proposes, his executive orders, the fact that he has appointed almost no women to be judges, these views that he have of women are substantive. They affect what actually happens now that he wields governmental power.
Okay, I, on the other hand, don't think this is a real controversy, so drop it. The court is in order. I believe that John Iadarola spoke out of order in doing a preemptive case there for the jury. But no, look, here's the thing. The Access Hollywood tape where he admitted to sexual assault is super important, because he says, I don't ask for permission, I just grab him. In this case, he's making a lewd comment about a woman. I think that if we conflate those two things, we don't do justice to the Access Hollywood tapes. And I think that we also lose a lot of people, because I think a lot of guys in the country go, okay, look, that's a crude, bad thing to say, but have people said that amongst guys? A lot of guys, they might not have said it in that way, right? Mm-hmm. But will they talk about how hot women are? Come on, of course.
I think the way matters.
Okay, yes.
I think the context matters.
But remember, he's not president at the time. He's just a clown ass showman. and he, you know, and so, John, if you say that he talks like this, you know, and it might reflect his true feelings about women, yes. I mean, look, my God, in another instance, again, one that was far more impactful, his wife is pregnant. Melania, okay, this is a couple of years later, she goes upstairs to change in the middle of an interview. He takes the reporter around and then sexually assaults her in his daughter's bedroom.
Too weird.
I don't want to lose the impact of those sexual assaults by getting into, well, he said something bad that I don't like.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
So you compared it to the Access Hollywood. They also tried to pitch that as, oh, that's just a random one-time locker room thing. This apparently is a multi-year pattern of him bragging in this sort of way to reporters he's talking to.
So I want to ask you guys, and then bring JR and Irina into it. Is Trump calling a woman this comment, and it's pretty bad.
Can't even say it. That's how bad it is.
I know. Is it a controversy or B, locker room talk? And
it's fake news.
TYTnetwork.com/firstrate to vote in this poll. I'm curious what you guys say. I am actually going to vote locker room talk. So, Jer, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, not a controversy only because we already know this about him. How many times on the Howard Stern show did he say things like this? How many times he said to any other reporters or anyone else he sees, this is who he is, which is why we knew not to vote for this guy in the first place, because it does affect how he treats people and how he puts agendas down. So, yeah, it's a big deal, but we already knew that, so it's not a big deal.
So, but okay. Which way are you going to vote? Locker room talk?
Or? Yeah, because it's who he is. We know that. It's locker room talk because that's him.
All right, Irina, what do you think?
If this is how we're voting, locker room talk, or, you know, not guilty, it's, I would also categorize it as locker room talk. But, you know, this is the president of the United States. If this is how you have fun by objectifying, being demeaning to other people, then, you know, what can I say?
So, fair enough, Irina is our executive producer. Look, so we're done with it. No, I'm kidding. One sec. We got to take a break. Everybody online, stay right here. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, and I want to pick it up where we left off. So, actually, come to me for a sec. So, John, it appears that you're being outvoted 3-1.
It does look like that, yeah.
Okay, so how do you respond?
I will respond long term by packing the court full of people who agree with me. We'll come back to this eventually.
Very FDR.
Look, I get what they're saying. First of all, you asked me those two categories, are those okay? And I was like, I don't think so. And you're like, we're going with them. So, obviously, it is locker room talk. And it's not a controversy, but it's something that we should read, think about a little bit, understand how it fits into our understanding of him. It sketches out the pattern of his behavior even longer, makes us wonder how his relationship with Melania existed as long as it did. All of that. It's not a scandal. It's not going to get him thrown out. The 25th Amendment isn't going to suddenly trigger off of it. But I do think that it's bad.
So I'm trying to figure out why you think this is the one thing that should get him out of office when everything else that he's done doesn't apply.
I don't think you listen to me at all.
No, but I do want to give one more point to John's side. So look, no, first let me say another point against him. So do we think that Clinton never said anything like this? Okay, I mean,
Do you think he said it to a reporter?
But you know, Trump often says you should hear what Bill Clinton says on the golf course. Mm-hmm. Okay, now Trump's not a very trustworthy person, obviously,
that's
right?
<true. laughs>
But others have said that Bill Clinton might say an inappropriate thing or two. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that they got away with so much, and the powerful are catered to so much that yes, I think that Clinton probably said stuff like this all the time. On the other end, to John's point, can you imagine? If Obama had said that some woman was a first-rate pussy. Oh my God. Oh, my God. You see, they have demeaned the Oval Office. Yeah. They have brought immorality. And yeah. Oh, my God. They might have tried to impeach him on it. JR was reminding me, what was it, the look that he gave?
Yeah, there was like some woman walking up steps and Obama was coming down. It turned to a gif and everything where he turned and looked kind of down. And it's like, oh, I totally checked out that woman's ass. Look at this. Philander.
Yeah. I know. It was for like a quarter of a second. If you'd say something like this. Okay, but Irina, last thing on this, I don't know how to deal with this, right? In the sense that it's a terribly crass thing to say. We think that Clinton probably said it. Did JFK say it? You know, JFK did a lot of bad things. So
Coolidge was a perv.
Yeah. You know, so what do you do with a comment like this? Is it Do we say it's bad? Like, I just, that's why the categories are weird of locker room talk or controversy.
You hope that some of the men on the Republican side who talk about their great reverence for women and how much they care about them will change their view of Trump. It's not going to happen. You hope that some of the Republican women who have been able to convince themselves, no, he doesn't hate everything about me and my kind. Maybe think for a second, maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he has for a really long time, going back decades. Maybe he thinks that at best, you are a first-rate whatever.
Right.
And then there's other ratings underneath. But that's basically how he sees women.
But again, to Irina, it's like to what degree is this like offensive, so offensive that it would change could it change your opinion of a Clinton or a guy that you like? I mean, we know who Trump is. But you see what I'm asking?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, so what you do with this is you take it and you put it in context as to who Trump is, right? This is a guy that has walked in into a room of naked 15 to 19-year-olds, the Miss Teen USA pageant, right? And then he went on Howard Stern and he bragged how he can get away with things like this, right? He's been accused of groping women, it goes all the way to rape, right? So this is why this is relevant. It's very telling of who Donald Trump is. The fact that he just goes ahead and just nonchalantly talks about this to a reporter, it's normal for him. This is who he is. And so that's why it's important. It's not just, you know, insignificant what you would call locker room talk from other guys. But even if that's what you know, that's how you spend your time having fun by, like I said, objectifying other human beings, then like, come on, you can do better than that. Like, I'm having fun too, but I can do it without referring to people's specific body parts, right? Yeah.
So, could not do it with a reporter at the very least.
Yeah, look, last thing is that I think context is very, very important. That's the I think what Irina is driving towards, which is that, look, you might have said you might have gone to a Chippendales show and said, well, that guy does have a nice ass, right? Or you might have said things among your guy friends about women, etc. Yeah. But context is important. Knowing what Trump has done, then you get this quote and you go, it might be locker room talk, but given the context, we know where he was going with it. And by the way, to be bipartisan, and we don't know that Clinton said anything like this, so I'm being slightly unfair to him, but he also has those issues. Mm. And so in that context, it would have been bad. Whereas if you hear it about someone that, you know, that never acted that way or never spoke that way.
Elizabeth Warren.
Or I don't know.
Foul mouthed woman.
Or a Republican who's an annoying guy who gives money, gives tax cuts to the rich, but doesn't do this stuff.
Yeah.
Then you have a different standard, and that's probably fair as well.
Ted Cruz is overheard talking about someone's first rate ankle. And look, I'll make an admission. So just as an example, so I have a friend, we've almost never, our types are totally different. With people we've dated and also with like celebrities we'll have a crush on or something like that. So every once in a while, I'll send him a name or he'll send him a name of someone we saw in a movie or something so that he can look at them and say, do we agree on someone? Because we're curious if we will ever line up. It's in private with a friend that I've known for a decade and I've still never said anything like Trump said on that golf course. But maybe that's just me. Can we quickly go through some of this? Extremely interesting.
Yeah,
okay, so more stuff from the profile.
So actually reset real quick.
Okay. So in the Maximum Golf profile that we've been talking about, there wasn't just the first rate comment. There was other stuff that was unveiled that was pretty interesting too. The article published in Maximum Golf magazine notes that Trump had to wait at the Marine Terminal for now disgraced pedophile billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, who have since and his girlfriend at the time, who have since been accused by dozens of women of running what amounted to a sex slave ring. Though not mentioned in the article, Corcoran now recalls a young woman boarding with him. He said, I honestly couldn't guess her age, but she was young, made up to look a bit older. Although he says nothing untoward happened on that flight. And so remember, Donald Trump is the guy constantly talking about Harvey Weinstein and putting pictures of him with people. Well, he's taking private jets with this guy who had a sex slave ring. Seems weird.
Yeah, I mean, Epstein was a pedophile. Yeah. I mean, he would pay these young girls $200 for massages, and then it would lead to sex.
Yeah.
And
would you like the perfect quote?
Yes.
Because maybe he doesn't know. Maybe Trump doesn't know about Epstein. But he said this: I've known Jeff for 15 years. This is for New York Magazine in 2002. Called him a terrific guy and a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do. And many of them are on the younger side. He's a terrific guy, and here's why. It's even said that look, you think you like beautiful women more than other people? I don't even understand what that means. But he seems to understand some of the concerns about possible pedophilia or his predilection in that direction.
He knew it. He knew it, man. A lot of these powerful folks hung out with Epstein. I don't know what they did, but we know what Epstein did because he was convicted. And it is some terrible stuff.
Yeah.
So to me, that's much more disturbing that he liked to hang out with Epstein and go on his private jet where some of the stuff happened. That was nicknamed the Lolita Express.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely crazy. Worse than anything Trump said about a particular woman in that profile.
Yeah.
So
although There's one other, just because it's a little bit embarrassing for him, and I like to embarrass him. The remainder of the Maximum Golf article is an account by Corcoran of a couple of anodyne days with Trump, in which the future president brags about the superiority of his properties, fine, takes mulligans freely, I love that, waves off a photographer because he feels fat, which is actually the most sort of self-analytical thing he's ever said in his life. Mm-hmm. He understood properly not to have a picture taken. Asked his golf buddies whether they like the look of his then-girlfriend Melania, quote, is that as good as it gets? And throws his club in the water over missed putt. Corcoran even said, I couldn't believe a man of his eminence gave a damn about some of the things he was worried about. Trump kept asking me if I thought his then-girlfriend Melania was good-looking.
No, he's obsessed about all the wrong things. Wealth, fame, is my girlfriend hot enough?
Do you think she's hot?
Yeah.
Do you want her? Who the fuck cares who else wants her?
No, he cares. He cares so much. That's why he said about Time magazine, when they wouldn't feature him, they're the worst. They're going to go bankrupt. And then when they did feature him, he's like, what a great honor. Because he's obsessed with what people think about him. Yeah. That's why the crowd size, which is an irrelevant thing, got so under his skin that he still talks about it.
He still
has a picture of it up in the White House where he brags about it to people who come in. He is deeply insecure, yeah. And he's about the most thin-skinned guy you've ever met. And he's in essence he's a bit of a snowflake.
He can't take any criticism of the Theresa May thing. The lightest criticism possible, and he absolutely blows up.
Yeah, he's a child in that way. But look, man, I don't know what happened with Epstein, but and there were a lot of rich and powerful guys who hung out with Epstein, but nothing good could have come of that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next story.
Okay. Take a look at this shirt Walmart was forced to remove from its online seller marketplace this week. We've got a picture for you. It's got a quote on it. If we can bring that up. It's graphic 66. There you go. Rope tree journalist, some assembly required. It's actually only $18.99. It's not overpriced, but it is possibly the worst t-shirt I've ever seen in my life. And so you'll be shocked to find out that people had a problem with Walmart selling this online. It had been offered by a third-party seller, teespring.com, which also offers on its site a coffee mug featuring the slogan so that you can start your day with some hatred for the free press. And let's see, the RTDNA, this is a group of journalists who looks out for journalists' rights and all of that, asked them to take it down. They put out a statement that they were investigating at Walmart, and it did get taken down. And then the executive director of the RTDNA said, we are grateful for Walmart's swift action, but dismayed that it and anyone else selling this shirt would offer such an offensive and inflammatory product. We live in an environment in which political and ideological discourse has deteriorated to the level where some find it appropriate to advocate violence targeting journalists merely for performing their constitutionally guaranteed duty to seek and report the truth. And we actually have a picture too. You can see this here from back in 2016 at a Trump rally. Oddly enough that it was at a Trump rally, this guy is wearing the Rope Tree journalist shirt.
Yeah, so actually several journalists reported seeing shirts like that at those rallies. So these shirts have been around a while. And I know the right wing and then what their reaction is. What's the big deal, man? We're just joking around about murdering journalists, right? Okay, well then let's flip it, because I know that most Republicans have deep trouble with empathy. But So if it said rope tree Trump, some assembly required, my guess is that you wouldn't think that was a funny joke. And you'd say, oh, the Secret Service should look into that, man. How about if it said gun bullet Trump's head, some assembly required?
Yeah.
My guess is that you wouldn't think that was funny, and nor rope, should you.
Rope tree NRA member. How about rope tree priest?
Oh my God.
You think they might have a problem with that?
Oh my God. What? It's just a joke. It's just a joke, right? No. And the reality is, it's not much of a joke, because Trump actively attacks the press day in, day out. He lies about what they say. He actually puts out fake news himself. And during that campaign, when they were wearing those shirts, he would put the press in a cage. His campaign manager famously assaulted a member of the press.
Yeah.
A Republican running for Congress in Montana body slammed a member of the press.
And then won.
Yeah, and then of course he put out the meme, which I didn't care about, of him doing the wrestling move and body slamming a guy with a CNN head.
Could have done without it.
Yeah. And then when he was with Duterte, joked around, and Duterte talked about killing members of the press, which arguably he might have done, another thing that another friend of his, Putin, has done often, and he joked with Duterte like no big deal. Yeah. So no, it is a big deal, and it is serious, and in fact it does happen quite often, unfortunately, here and abroad.
Yeah, we have some stats for you. According to the US Press Freedom Tracker, at least 34 journalists have been physically assaulted in the US just this year, and we've still got December. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, at least 48 journalists have been killed in other countries thus far this year. As you pointed out, sometimes in random acts of violence or terrorism, obviously journalists who go to war zones are at a risk of being killed. That's one of the reasons it's such a courageous thing to do. But then you also have governments like Vladimir Putin openly killing journalists who report in ways that they don't like. And we've had in the US, I mean, we reported a couple of years ago on the guy who, wasn't, as far as we know, a political thing, but the guy who walked onto a live shot of a live reporting and shot and killed a journalist. And then you have the, as you pointed out, the politician who's able to assault a journalist and then win right after that. Trump supporters don't care anymore. They have been told the media is evil, the media is the enemy. That's literally what Donald Trump said. And we're supposed to pretend that that doesn't matter, that that doesn't then filter down to his supporters, to the state media like Sean Hannity, but also to regular conservatives. And when they assault people at their rallies, when they assault activists, possibly journalists, are we supposed to act like that doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump and him giving the highest possible level support for those sorts of actions? We don't have 34 journalists being killed in America this year yet. But this is exactly how you move in that direction.
Yeah, that's what I want to end on, John. It's, if we let them, you think these guys wouldn't do that assembly? So the reason that you resist and you fight back and you call this out is because if you let them keep wearing these brown shirts around, one day they're going to take action on it. And then if it becomes normal, they're going to do it again and again, and they're going to do it worse and worse. Because ideologically, they don't mind violence.
No.
And it is a scary, undemocratic impulse. And yes, we should fight it tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what's next?
We're moving on?
Okay. Yeah.
Earlier this year in Michigan, a man named Anthony Seavey received a parking ticket, which is a fairly routine thing, but it's a huge inconvenience financially in terms of time for a lot of people. I know for myself, it's probably happened to you as well. So in February, he entered the Royal Oaks 44th District Court and initially attempted to pay the $10 fine. When told that he would have to pay an additional surcharge on top of the fine for using his credit card, which is one of the ways they nickel and dime the working class in this country until we have nothing, Seavey left without paying. Eventually, he returns and decides to pay, but with pennies, actually.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. Unfortunately, what happened isn't awesome, and you're going to see it right here. Is there sound? I don't know if there is sound. I think it might just be security cam footage.
This gentleman who's trying to pay with pennies, they're annoyed by him. Now, that is not a crime. Annoying the police by paying in a way that they don't like is definitely not a crime. But no, here we go. We're going to have issues. And they assault him. They arrest him. For what?
Yes. He paid with pennies. Which, look, I've been saying for a long time they should ban. So I'm right with the cops. No, obviously not. You're allowed to pay with pennies. It is currency. You can do it. So the guy, I'm sure, said something to them that they didn't like, and they are apparently so thin-skinned that they had to assault the guy. And his lawyer is saying that they beat him so badly that at the time he defecated himself, they were pointing that out as that's how terrible the attack was, and they're pressing legal charges. But look, this on TYT, we've done a lot of stories like this. We've seen a lot of unnecessary assaults, unnecessary escalations. I'm sure the cops feared for their life, as they so often do. But the guy was walking out. They could have just let him walk out And then they could have brushed off whatever comment he said. Maybe it was something really disrespectful. It would be better if he didn't do it, but he did it. They could have brushed it off. They didn't. And they escalated it and then are saying that he was the one who actually did something wrong. He disturbed the peace and assaulted or obstructed a police officer.
No, he didn't.
But we just saw
the tape.
Maybe right? He disturbed the peace. You can do that with your voice, I guess. But he certainly didn't assault the guy. He was attacked.
No, this is a very common thing that cops do, bad cops do, when they want to arrest a guy. They then say, while I was arresting him, there was physical contact. Yeah, because you initiated it.
Yeah.
And it briefly choked him out, by the way, and assaulted him, and then put handcuffs on him. Well, while I was choking him out, his throat was doing damage to my arm.
Yeah.
Right? No, that's not a thing.
Adam's apple poked into my my forearm.
Yeah, luckily he seems to be okay other than the unfortunate bathroom situation there. But
you have to be beat pretty bad to have that sort of accident.
Look, annoying a police officer is not a crime. Paying with legal tender that it takes the cop a little longer to count is not a crime. Even if, and we don't have volume on or audio on that tape, even if he says something disrespectful, disrespecting the police, I know they think is the largest crime in America, but it's actually not a crime.
Yeah.
Just let him go, man. He already paid your stupid fine. I mean, you think we don't know, we know, and this one is not on the cops, it's on the lawmakers. You lower taxes on the rich and you increase our fines, and you make guys like that have to resort to paying you with pennies because that's all we have left. Right? And then you go, oh, how dare you? You annoyed power for a second.
Yeah.
So we're going to assault you and then arrest you to add insult to injury.
Yeah.
So it starts as a funny story, but at the end of the day, it's as usual, the powerful crushing the powerless.
And look, I mean, just to place this in the context of the political news we've got domestically this week, they're gonna possibly pass their big tax bill. And in 3 years or 7 years or 11 years, we're going to do a story of exactly like this. And it will be driven by the fact that they have lowered the taxes on the corporations, they've lowered the taxes on the wealthy, and the obvious reaction that you pointed out will happen at the federal level, at the state and local level. And it will drive people to these sorts of situations, and then they will be crushed by the big arm of the government.
Yeah. All right, one last story.
Okay, one last story. A popular strategy recently for people looking to reach the president with new information is to run ads on his principal source of information, which is Fox News, unfortunately. But in this case, Fox News is refusing to run a new ad that was hoping to catch the eye of the president. So we're going to take a look at this ad, and then we're going to tell you why it is that they refused to play it. Here you go.
A president who tells it like it is. That's what America needs. But when it's time for Trump to explain why his tax plan gives a big cut to the wealthy, including lucrative breaks for golf course owners and cuts for rich heirs, all worth more than $1 billion for Trump and his family, why is this president suddenly at a loss for words?
That's a good ad. It's concise. The numbers check out. I mean, they could have gone far worse with that. There are analyses, NBC News put out an analysis showing that him and his family could save $1 billion or possibly more.
Definitely more, because they save at least $1 billion on the estate tax cut alone.
That's let alone all the yearly changes through pass-through income, corporate tax rate, all of that.
Yes, and we don't know what Trump's wealth is because he often lies about it and releases tax returns. But anyway you slice it, he is going to save a tremendous amount of money. Yeah. And 80% of the tax cuts goes to the top 1%. So this ad could not be more accurate.
Unfortunately, it could not be more invisible to Donald Trump, who is not going to see it. So the ad was a part of a six-figure buy by Not One Penny, a group devoted to working towards ensuring that millionaires, billionaires, and wealthy corporations don't receive, quote, even one penny in tax cuts, which now is my favorite organization, I think.
Yes.
That's exactly what we need. But according to Politico, Fox News says it's refusing to run the ad because it features a Trump impersonator, and the network has a policy against them.
Hmm.
They think that impersonating, it's just, they don't like it. The right wingers, they don't like the comedy. They think it would be inappropriate considering the respect due to the president, the stature of his position. You don't impersonate him. except if you're a show on Fox, like they did here.
Of course, if he wins the Republican nomination, then he'll get to debate President Obama. What would that be like? To give us an idea, the president has graciously agreed to debate Ron Paul tonight on this show. Please welcome President Obama. All right, I will play the role of moderator here. Congressman Paul's a big advocate of free markets. What's your problem with free markets?
John, look. Now, I believe in the power of the free market. But a free market was never meant to be a free license to take whatever you can get. Now, that's what caused the recent crisis, and that's why we need more regulation.
More regulation, Congressman?
Yes, we need more regulations on the politicians and on the bureaucrats. That's where the regulations should be. The people should be left alone.
Man, that show looks terrible. That was just awful. I mean, the impersonator, like, I think I've seen him before, actually. He does look like Barack Obama. He's got the voice, kind of. But, man, that host was just bad. And Ron Paul, if he wins, Jesus. That guy has a better chance of being Barack Obama than Ron Paul had of winning the presidency.
Well, John, I don't agree with you, because I think impersonating the president is very disrespectful.
You shouldn't do it.
If there's one thing I know about Fox News, it is principled, and yes, it will stick to those principles.
Yes.
Yeah. So remember when they complained about the Obama phones? Mm-hmm. Now there's the Trump yachts and the Trump jets that they're giving to the rich. Yeah. And so the excuse that we don't like impersonators, at least check like what we did. You could have easily done. Check to see, hey, did we ever have an Obama impersonator on? We almost certainly did, right? Oh, right, shoot, we did. Let's come up with another BS excuse.
I mean, the Trump didn't even face the camera, didn't say anything. He was literally just tweeting, which we know he did. It was a very accurate portrayal. They had Obama debate a politician, fake Obama. Fake news from Fox News.
Last thing is that my favorite part of the ad was they had the fake cover of Time magazine that was in the Trump golf courses, where he of course did not earn his way onto the cover of Time magazine, but pretended to.
That was great.
Okay, so we're obviously massively out of time. I hope you guys enjoyed the extra show that we gave you guys, extra time on the show. And afterwards, we're also going to do a post game. So stick around for that. And you can get the whole show anytime you want if you're a member. So that's tytnetwork.com/join. All right. Bye-bye.